and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So sometimes I ask my own children, or ask those of us who are in school, and I say, you know, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so some people will even say things like, you know, I want to be a professional basketball player, or I want to be a professional violinist. And so I brought this morning my handy-dandy violin, and so now I'm a beginner here when it comes to the violin, so, you know, some people might say, I want to be a professional violinist, and I even want to, I want to play in the Vienna Symphony Orchestra, and, you know, I'm really a beginner here. I've never had violin lessons. In fact, I don't even think my bow probably works. I don't even know how to hold a violin. All I know is from what I've seen others do in playing the violin. Maybe I need to have some of our professional violinists to assist me. I'm not even sure how to put all this together. Just kind of somebody. Somebody help me out. Not even. I think this goes up here. Okay. Anyway. All right. Well, maybe afterwards you guys can help me out here. I think I need something to put on my shoulder or something. But, okay, or that. But, you know, if I told you today I wanted to be in the Vienna Symphony Orchestra, you might think I was crazy. I mean, I'm just not going to wake up the next day and join the Vienna Orchestra. Probably have to do a couple of things, like, you know, join a more vocal orchestra first, like, you know, Seven Lakes Junior High Orchestra, or Taylor Orchestra, or maybe even the Houston Symphony Orchestra might be a better place for me to start. You know, I can't just wake up overnight and just fly over to Vienna and start playing in their orchestra. And at the same time, I'm a beginner. I need someone to show me the ABCs of the violin. I don't even know how to hold the violin. You know, and so I need someone to teach me and illustrate for me how to play the violin. And then maybe one day I can go out and run the Vienna Symphony Orchestra. And so, you know, we've been talking a lot about our vision, our lofty goals of glorifying God and bringing His name to the unreached peoples, to all the peoples of the earth. And but you know, just like I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and go out to Vienna and play in the orchestra, so in the same way, most of us are probably not tomorrow going to wake up and go out to a weak people group and start proclaiming the gospel. But on the other hand, we might start more locally, you know, like at our junior high schools or at our local places of occupation or work, as a starting place in proclaiming the glory of God. And so so this morning, I would like to continue our vision for where we're going as a church in displaying the glory of God as Haiti Christian Community Church And how can we break it down into something that's a little more applicable, a little more practical, perhaps even locally, here to us? What are some ways, very practical ways, that we can proclaim God's glory, both locally, but also extend it to the end of the earth? So that's where I'd like to go this morning, and I hope I can give you some simple illustrations, some basics of the ABCs. But whether you are a beginner in proclaiming the gospel or you're a veteran, I hope this can be an encouragement to you. I want us to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we're going to look at a couple of other selected verses throughout the Bible. But let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So in Acts 1 verse 8, we'll just read that here together. Luke is recording the words of Jesus, and Jesus has told us, has told his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Okay? So, these are the last words of Jesus as he is ascending into heaven, and these are the words that he leaves with his disciples. And the first thing I'd like us to see as we think about how can we be displaying God's glory here in Katy and to reach the ends of the earth is that we have received power. We've received power from God. Now, what is this power here? So what is the power that he's talking about? That's the first thing I wanted to understand. I don't know if some of you knew of the Houston Rockets 20-plus years ago. They used to come onto the court to this song, "I've Got the Power," you know, back in the days of, Okay, that was playing out in Hakeem Olajuwon, and I knew it was always that. So what is it that he's talking about? What is the power here? What is it that I got the power here, okay? Well, which one? Let's take a little, I know it's early in the semester, but let's take a little quiz. What is the power? Is it physical power to defeat people like David defeated Goliath? B, political power to defeat nations like Joshua conquered Jericho? Or C, spiritual power to love others, live holy lives, minister and witness to Jesus? Alright, so let's take a small poll here. How many people think A, physical power? Okay, and leap over tall buildings too? Okay, B, political power? Or C? Okay, yes, C. I would propose C, that what we're talking about here is this spiritual power to love others and primarily in the context of being a witness for Jesus. And so praise God that he has given us that power, the power to forgive others, the power to love the unlovable, the power to give thanks in difficult circumstances, and yet the power to proclaim and tell others about Jesus. Now, how has God given us this power? He continues on. It's through, he's given it to us when we receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this was a great new event in the plan of God before God himself, his presence, his dwelling was primarily focused and localized upon what? The temple, right? Or the tabernacle. But with the new covenant, with Jesus coming, we have that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is now in the believer, the person who believes in God, the person who believes in Jesus Christ. But the original disciples, they had to wait for that day of Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to be poured out onto the believers, and then they could receive the power to love and to minister and to witness to him. So that was 2,000 years ago. But what about today? When do you receive the power? When do you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, let's ask again. Okay, when do you receive the Holy Spirit? A, when we believe. B, when we are baptized. C, when we join the church. Alright, those are our three choices. So let's take our small poll again. How many people say we received the Holy Spirit today? A, when we believe. Alright. D, when we are baptized. C, when we join the church. Alright, you guys got it correctly. Praise God. When we believe. Anybody know a biblical support for that? How about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14? If you have your Bibles, you can turn there real quick. I will read it for you. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14 tells us, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Okay? So, we receive the Holy Spirit when we've trusted in Christ that he is the one who has died and risen again to deliver us from the penalty and the power and one day the presence of sin. So, praise God. We have power through the Holy Spirit when we believe in him. Now moving on in this one verse, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we will be God's witnesses. Now what does that mean? What does that mean to be God's witness? This word actually is the word martyr, or martyr, and so it's where we get this, our word martyr, that's more in a sense of testifying to something, even to the point of sacrifice. But here, the word has a sense of a witness, one who proclaims or speaks about the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Someone who has seen that, okay? If you will look in verse 22 there, therefore, of chapter 1, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time Jesus was taken up. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. In verse 22, and there's several other verses throughout the book of Acts that talk about this witness being one who testifies to the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And so, as we seek to be Jesus' witnesses today and proclaim his glory to the end of the earth, we too can testify to the great work that Jesus has done for mankind. But I want to give us a little more practical ways that we can do that. Some of us may feel like a novice, like a beginner, like We don't even know how to hold the violin. And so I want to give us, what are some practical ways that we can be witnesses for Jesus to the end of the earth? And you probably have some really creative ideas as well. And I hope we can draw upon some of that as we continue to live life together as we could. But let me give you a few ideas here. And okay, they're all going to show up at once. I wanted to show up one at a time, but that's all right. We'll show them all up at once. So first, we're going to say, pray for people, okay? How can we be as witnesses? We can pray for people. You can simply just ask someone, a Christian or a non-Christian or a pre-Christian, right? Let's think positively. Pre-Christian. You can ask a pre-Christian, how can I pray for you? Okay? And so last year, when I'm talking to my daughter's school counselor at McNeese about various educational issues, and at the end, I simply asked that school counselor, sir, can I pray for you? And lo and behold, he's a Christian, and he goes to one of these churches here in Indiana, and he says, yeah, well, that would be great, Mr. Lynn. And so right there, we pray in the counselor's office at the school. And then I'm having a conference with my other son and his teacher. And so at the end of our conference, I think we ask my son's teacher, Miss So-and-so, can I pray for you? And she says, oh, that would be great. You know, and then another teacher walks in, and she says, hey, you know, he's a pastor. You got any prayer requests? Now, you know, I'm not a pastor. Okay, I didn't have to play the pastor card. I could have just said, can I pray for you? And so right then, you know, we have a prayer in the classroom at an elementary school. And I'm not sure if they're pre-Christian or post-Christian or what, but it's okay. But I'm trying to be a witness for Jesus, okay? And then my own son, oh, Daddy, why can't you do that again? You know, okay, that's all right. I'm hopefully, don't worry. The teacher's not been giving you a bad day or discriminating against you. Well, if you do, that's okay. Something for Jesus is okay, and even in elementary school, right? Is he, well, Nathaniel, are you in here, brother? There he is, okay. All right, brother, thank you, brother. Okay, but you're saying now, Master Wade, you're a big shot, okay? You got seminary education, you know. You've been doing this for a long time. You're like, yeah, this rock, whatever. Who's that guy? This rock Coleman. Well, the professional violinist. Okay. But I want to say to you, yes, Brother Kevin, can you stand up for me? Now, Brother Kevin, can you share with us just a little bit? Did something happen at school? Just maybe a few months ago, in your experience that you can share with us.
So a few months ago, one of my friends, like, it was really cold, and we were running a mile, halfway the mile. He had asthma, so he felt a cough on the floor, and he was gasping for breath. And I felt really sad, so I put my faith in God. I asked him if I could pray for him. He said sure, and I prayed for him, and after like 2 seconds, he felt really good.
Thank you. All right, so Brother Cameron is in the sixth grade, and so if a sixth grader can pray for his classmates, I'm sure many of us can pray for our neighbors or our classmates or our co-workers. Okay, so we can pray for people. Now also, we can start prayer groups for each other and the leaders in our schools or companies. I think it would be great if at every junior high school and high school and companies, you had a prayer group or a Bible study to go to. So if you do have one at your school or your company, I want to encourage you to attend it. That's a wonderful way to be a witness to those who are around you. And if you don't have a group yet, I want to encourage you to start one. Start a prayer group. So can you guys tell me, is there a Christian prayer group at Seven Lakes High School? Yes? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I want to encourage you to participate in that. How about Seven Lakes Junior High? I'm looking at second door people here, right? Okay. We can talk about that. But if there's not, why not start one? All you have to do is find one other person, you know? We just have to say in English, younger men pray, do great. Younger men pray, do great, right? All you have to do is find one other person, and you can start a group, and just find a sponsor at your school. I'm sure there's many Christian teachers who would be glad to sponsor you. In the same way as your company. I'm looking at here some teachers here. They're starting to get a little nervous with you here. But I'm sure even at your company, Pastor Young shared with me that back in Seattle, when he was working for Shell, they used to have a Christian group. He said there were about 70 people who would go to it. If you don't have one, why not start one? You don't have to start it with 70 people. You can just ask your co-worker, why don't we start a prayer group or a little Bible study? This would be a great way to be a witness for him. And we can also, something we can do is we can pray for our schools. We can pray for our companies. We can pray for our cities. The idea I have is I just go up to the principal of our school and say, we would like to pray for you. We would like to bless you, principal, and your leadership team. Can we come as parents? I don't have to come in as a pastor. I need to come in as a community citizen, as a parent. Can we come in and pray for the school? Just 5-10 minutes a month. Why not? Okay? So these are all some great things we can do. Okay, we got to keep going on. Pray for boldness, opportunity, clarity, and then share with your neighbors, family, and colleagues. So I want to give you a couple of verses to encourage you. I believe that prayer is a great way for us to be involved in engaging our pre-Christian friends. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all times, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And then we go, verse 19, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. All ask for prayer for boldness. Pray for yourself. Lord, give me the courage. Give me the courage to testify to you, to just have a spiritual conversation for you. Pray for boldness. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2-4. Devote yourselves in prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. So, let's pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to proclaim you, and help me to proclaim it clearly. So pray for boldness, pray for opportunities, pray for clarity, And then go ahead and share the gospel. Just even start to have a spiritual conversation with your friend. Maybe it's through asking them, do you want a simple phrase? I believe, isn't God a wonderful, I believe God is our creator and he has his prayer. Is this somewhere I can pray for you? Simple as that. You want to say that? You can just say that to your neighbor right now. Just ask him, is there somewhere I can pray for you? Can I turn to your neighbor and say that? you can do it in here. You can do it out there too, right? Okay? All right. And again, I've done this all the time, but you don't have to be an Yitzhak Roman to proclaim and talk about Christ, right? I got my own son here, Nathaniel. So last semester, we have a friend at school, Reverend Nathaniel. And can you tell us what your experience was with Kyle? Yeah. Great. All right. Did you guys hear that? My son Nathaniel, he asked one of his classmates who doesn't go to church if he wanted to read the Bible, and he said yes. And we picked up one of those, you know, lost and found Bibles. We had read the Bible here that nobody's reading at the church, and we gave it to Nathaniel, and he gave it to his friend. All right. Now, Nathaniel, how did you feel when you were about to do that and give him the Bible? You were a little scared, and why is that? Yeah, you might think that Nathaniel was a little weird and it might jeopardize their friendship, okay? But praise God. So I thank you, brother, for brother and son. Isn't that cool? Be a Christian thing, call him a brother and a son. Isn't that great? All right. So, but I thank you, brother, for stepping out in faith. And yes, maybe risking looking a little weird, but thankfully he has a father to set the example that, hey, we don't care if you look weird, right? Okay. So maybe even looking a little weird and maybe even risking the friendship. Okay, but praise God. Now, we're just going to spread it around a little bit. I know that we're not all in school. We're not all 12 years old or 10 years old. We got some people here in their 20s. And I know my brother Chris here at times is also brother and not son. Although we do have the same father. Okay. All right. But anyway, so brother Chris, has there been a few opportunities just to have spiritual conversations at work?
When I first started work, or before I started work, I was praying for opportunities to share with my coworkers and be a light in the workplace. But it was kind of discouraging because I guess in tax season, everyone's just stressed out and not very open. So for the first couple of months, it was hard. But then one time, Pastor Wei called me and wanted to get lunch. When we came downtown, a coworker also asked me if I had lunch time, and I said, I'm getting lunch with my pastor. And then she's like, oh, you go to church? You're a Christian? And then that opened up, so it allowed me to have conversation with her about Christianity and because she's a Catholic. And most of my workplace is full of nominal Catholics, so I think that's a good opportunity to start sharing with them on my faith.
Thank you, brother. So praise God. And now I can't go have lunch with each of you. Well, actually, I could. If you want to use that as an opportunity so that you can have a conversation, I'd be glad to come have lunch with you at your school, your work, whatever. Then you can have a conversation. I'm having lunch with the pastor, you know, and maybe open up the conversation. But you can just even leave the conversation to spiritual things. Say, what did you do this last weekend? I went to church. And boom, there you go. We're in the same boat, and it's an opportunity. Just to start to have a spiritual conversation with your friend, with your neighbor, with your family member, with your colleague. So I just want to encourage you to pray for boldness, for opportunity, and then step out and share. Okay. Other things we can do. We can show items pointing to Jesus. Praise God for the focus group that last semester, they handed out candy at their schools with Bible verses on them. And I don't know what the results came of that, but, at least, you know, you planted some seeds, and maybe you can have a Bible verse in your cubicle so that people, when they come visit you at the cubicle, they'll at least know that you are someone who enjoys reading the Bible. You know, you can wear your focused t-shirt, which has a great Bible verse on the back. You know, I'm just aware of this. Yeah, let's wear our Christianity. We don't want to wear it on our sleeves, but we can wear it on our back. Yeah, wear it on our back. I mean, come on out. Everybody else is coming on out. We might as well too. Right? Okay, so in fact, this last week we were having a lunch at it. Nick Mead's junior high, and Brother Daniel here is wearing his Nick Mead shirt, and then the girl was sitting across from him, cool shirt, Daniel. And then what happened next after that is we get into a spiritual conversation about the gospel right there in the lunchroom. Okay, so display so ways of items pointing to Jesus. Another practical thing is we can learn a track, or find a good gospel track or material or a gospel cubicle and learn it and receive some training in it, and then you can simply pass it out to your friends. I have a little booklet that I would like you to read and think about. Why don't you take it and read it and we can talk about it sometime, which is another wonderful thing. And so I would encourage us to write down for this next year, could you write down the names of three people that are pre-Christian, and just begin to pray for them, and then begin to pray that God will give you opportunities or clarity, or that God will, in proclaiming the gospel, or that God will send out laborers. Could you do that? Just in this next year, it might be a neighbor, it might be a family member, it might be a classmate, it might be a colleague. Could you write down the names of three people? If there's 100 people in here, and we each proclaim or share the gospel with three people in the year 2016, we have planted seeds among 300 people. So just take a minute right now. I don't have index cards for you. But just take a minute and think about, are there three people that I can at least start to pray for? And by God's grace, start to have spiritual conversations or even share the gospel with them. And then as you do that, it's important to be in a small group or a focus group or a community group that will kind of keep you accountable. Hey, how's it going? You know, how's it going praying for this person, sharing with this person? Okay? So, we have the power to love and live holy lives, to witness for Jesus through the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Him, and then we can be His witnesses. And this is to the end of the earth, to Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. Now, how can we be His witnesses to the end of the earth? Well, certainly, as we talked about last week, we can go for these huge people groups. And we can pray for God to raise up laborers, and to pray for our missionaries as we send them out. Matthew 9:35-38, what did that say? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers for His harvest. You can definitely do that. We need to keep doing that. And praise God. Thank you, Brother Stan. We can go on the short-term mission trip. Yes, there are these three peoples right here in the United States. Now I don't want to water down the need to sort of go out to their home countries, because the need still is very, very, perhaps even greater than they are in America. But yes, absolutely, we can reach unreached people, reached people right here. So praise God, I want to encourage us to go on the short-term trip this summer. But we can also use and receive training in other states, other religions. I have three booklets that are right. You probably never even see them. You go out this and you turn right, there's a little stand with different articles and publications. I have different booklets here just to give you a little head start on how to talk to people from a Buddhist background, or a Muslim background, or a Hindu background, please feel free to take one of these booklets, read up on it. It'll give you some more insight on how to communicate and relate and proclaim the gospel to the end of the earth. But even if you, just starting off, even just learning how to say hello in another language, that could be a way to start. For those of you who are here during Thanksgiving, I taught you how to say hello in Arabic. Do you remember how to say it? Right. Assalamu alaikum. Right. And so yesterday, I'm buying donuts, you know, and I asked the ladies how to say hello in Vietnamese. I didn't know how to say hello in Vietnamese. Anybody know how to say hello in Vietnamese? I think that was it. Chow. Okay? So we can certainly learn, and it's a little, actually, it's a little bit of a following tone. Chow. Okay? There we go. So, I just told me how to say goodbye, but I forgot it. That's okay. We'll go back again because we have a little language lesson, alright? So, these are wonderful ways that we can connect and proclaim God's glory locally and to the end of the earth. So, so I praise God. There's great opportunities to do so. Again, just meeting with people from a Hindu background or a Muslim background. And when I came and I coached basketball a year ago to this day at the YMCA, as I told many of you before, on my team of 10 boys, 4 of them came from a Muslim background. And praise God, there were opportunities to go and have lunch with one of the parents at the Chick-fil-A. You know, the people, they love hospitality. People from other countries, they've never been in an American home. And so there's opportunities. And so we've had lunch even at Chick-fil-A. And we've gone to Bahama Bucks. You know, and had a snow cone there. And later on, my wife has met with Barack and has had Starbucks coffee. And they even came to the fall festival, you know, and brought some of their friends and people from an Iranian background. And, you know, if you would have told my wife that she was, 19 years old, 20 years from now, you're going to be having Starbucks coffee with people from Iran, she probably thought that you would be crazy. And that her husband would, she'd be married to someone who would be, you know, praying for a Muslim right here in the parking lot of Cody Christian Community Church. She probably thought, you're crazy. She wasn't even a Christian back then in college. And Jesus would have probably told you that, you know, it's better chances that I'll be heading out to Vienna and playing in the symphony orchestra. But you know, praise God. He's that kind of a God. He loves doing the crazy. He loves doing the impossible. He loves taking a weak and sinful and humble people, and then transforming them for His glory, and using them for His glory. So I'm confident that He will use you as well. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. So. Lord, thank you that your name is worthy to be praised in all the earth. And thank you, Lord, that even here in Haiti, in our Jerusalem, we can start to proclaim your glory. Thank you that we don't have to do it on our own strength, but you give us the power
to reveal yourself living within us and displaying your glory in us and through us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the promise that we will be your witnesses. Use us.